This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a huge deal, and it was very, very, very emotional and incredibly memorable, and one of the most significant sports stories of my lifetime. Here to put it all in perspective for us is a guy who covers sports and the media who covers sports. Richard Deitch is at Richard Deitch on Twitter. He of The Athletic and Fan 590 in Toronto, joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Richard, hello. How are you?
The glory has returned to your station. I'm well.
But you know, it was Sports Illustrated's cover came out, and I saw that Michael Rosenberg's cover story was given a wordless cover. It is just that photo. What's the significance of that?
You want me to talk about my old employer? I love it. I think even the most casual sports fan understands that yesterday was a very, very significant day in American sports. Tiger Woods is the golfer that most people of multiple generations who are alive today know. You know, no offense to the Nicholas and Palmer crowd, but it's a long time ago. And people, because of his sort of, because of everything that's happened to him, self-inflicted, and all the tabloid stuff, you're just aware of his story. And we're not too long ago where, I think correctly so, most golf experts were like, this guy's never going to win a major again. Maybe he's never going to play again. And so it's an incredible story given Tiger Woods' significance in the sports landscape. When he started, he was a crossover star that went from sports to popular culture. He, I think, asked us to ask some questions about race and things like that. Obviously, some of those questions pushed by Nike and done an incredibly sort of shameless marketing promotion. But still, one of the most significant American athletes alive. And yesterday won the most important golf tournament that you can win. Sports Illustrated, to speak to them specifically, has had a long history with Tiger Woods. And so it's a pretty good choice by the editors. You know, to me, any time now in 2019 where a magazine, a print product, can get any kind of attention for the good as opposed to for layoffs or declining circulation, that's a good day. And so it was a beautiful cover, and shout out to the photographer who took that photo, which is a beautiful photo.
Yeah, I thought the field that he had to fight through to get the green jacket was an incredible one. You know, all of a sudden you had Dustin Johnson go and get a couple of birdies late, and you're like, "What? Where did he come from?" Patrick Cantlay, same thing. Ricky Fowler had a nice little birdie lined up, or an eagle putt lined up that would have put him among the leaders. And it felt as though the broadcast, I don't know if they forgot about these other guys, but it felt like they did, at least watching it, because everything was so Tiger-focused. What did you think of how they handled the last, four, five, six holes?
Well, so here's how I'm going to answer this. It's important for your listeners to know. I don't watch a ton of golf. I watch the majors. I watch the Ryder Cup. Maybe if something sort of crazy is happening or interesting, I'll watch. So I'm truly the casual sports fan when it comes to golf. There are far more knowledgeable people in terms of the technical part of golf that CBS or NBC or Fox do. That said, because I looked at yesterday like a casual sports fan, I wanted as much Tiger Woods as possible.
Yeah.
To me, that's the story. That's the story that's going to bring in the biggest audience. It's essentially what you want to know, what you want to see. The images around the course are related to him. So listen, I get it. I understand if you're a big Dustin Johnson fan or Molinari, although Molinari we obviously saw because he was with Tiger's crew. But, if you're a Dustin Johnson fan or a fan of anybody who was sort of making a run behind him, you're right. You probably didn't get as many live shots as you wanted. But if you're CBS and if I was in that truck, I would have made the exact same calls that they did. I think you got to focus as much as you can on Tiger and then obviously show the shots, even if it's on tape, of those in the tournament who are important and could be part of the story. But I thought they did really well. And again, I talked to the producer late last night, and a lot of these events, and you guys know this too, you come away with a certain memory or a certain something. And I think when all is said and done 5-10 years from now, people aren't going to remember. They might remember the shot on 16. They might remember Tiger 2 put it on 18. What you're really going to remember is you can remember the scene afterwards of him jumping, him hugging his caddy, him running over to his family, hugging his his son hugging his mother, daughter, girlfriend. Like, that's the scene from that Masters. And to me, that's, if you're CBS, that's the scene you got to nail. And I thought they nailed that. And oftentimes, the way I judge these broadcasts is, if you nailed the most important thing that I'm going to remember, generally speaking, it's a pretty good broadcast.
And there's Jim Nance in the middle of it, Jim Nancing on things as he does. And, and which is fine. You know, there, I think there's a time and a place for a big dollop of schmaltz. And it's good for what ails you. And I just think he gives you exactly what you need in the moment. Did he push a little too hard in Butler Cabin going for the emotion? Maybe a bit. But here's the thing. I think it's coming from a genuine place. That guy loves the Masters, loves golf, loves all of it. It would be different if I thought he was being a phony or being a character. Maybe I'm just soft, but I felt that he means all of that treacle.
Yeah, I think, listen, that's a good way to look at it. I find all that stuff absolute nonsense. I mean, the beautiful azaleas flowing, you know, this is a place where Arnie and Jack stood. It's like, enough. We got, like, some economic issues, Jim Nance. Calm down with the overarching golf stuff. That said, it is totally from a real place. I've talked to and interviewed Nance enough times to know he loves golf. You know, he loves golf the way I once loved Penelope Cruz. It is legit.
What happened?
I know. Exactly. Except his love for golf continues. It's from a legit place. That's just who he is in golf. And the one thing I will say is, and I've tried, as I've gotten older, I sort of get a better sense of this. There are a lot of people who love golf, and they love that kind of broadcast. They love Nance's passion. They want to schmaltz it up. You know, I'm someone who loves tennis. So I like it when they sort of just go nuts on Federer or Nadal. And I'm sure somebody who's not a tennis fan is going to go there and be like, you know, what is this nonsense of, you know, this overarching stuff about Roger Federer? So I get it. I get the people who are cynical of that stuff. And I'm a little bit like that when it comes to golf. But with Nance, it's legit. And yesterday, I kind of, to me, because it was such a historic moment, he could have done all that. Nothing would have bothered me. And I actually thought, if you watch the encore presentation, I thought Nance and Faldo actually had a very good interview with Tiger. You got some pretty good stuff out of Tiger, and that's where the access and the familiarity helps, given that I think Tiger's going to probably answer questions from a Jim Nance, who's generally speaking been a friendly interviewer, in a far more expansive way than he would if some of the press people, obviously, who he has sparred with over the years.
What did it take to move the broadcast up to the morning? Was it moving heaven and earth, or was it somewhat simpler?
It's pretty simple. You know, once, obviously, the Masters is going to make that call, and CBS is going to, you know, the CBS is going to do what the Masters says. I think Alan Shipnuck, what he wants to describe it as, an abusive partner, basically, called Augusta National with CBS. That's probably pretty good indication. The fact is that CBS, it's a one-year contract. They're going to do whatever the Masters says. They cannot afford to ever lose that contract. It's one of the best sports deals that exists in the history of sports. So the Masters basically tells them on Saturday afternoon that we want to move up the tee times because the weather's going to be really bad. And then what CBS Sports does is they contact the entertainment division, the news division, the higher-ups at both these places, and they make a calculation. And this is an easy calculation. You don't want to lose the Masters contract. And the fact is, the Masters broadcast is going to destroy Face the Nation and CBS Sunday Morning in terms of viewership. So it's a very easy call. You just cancel those shows. I'm sure those people were not particularly happy about that. And then everything just gets moved up. You know, if you're CBS production, instead of getting to the course at 9 o'clock, you get to the course at 5 o'clock in the morning. But everything else, pretty much the same broadcast. One thing about CBS, they've been doing the Masters for so long, and it's a very complicated tournament, but they got it down pretty good in terms of production. So talking to production staffers late last night, the change in time really had no effect on them. The biggest thing that they had to deal with is, don't be a fan when you're watching history, and focus on your job as opposed to focusing on this incredible thing in front of you.
Yeah, there was a lot of people were getting really close to that line yesterday, and you could hear it in their voices. There is anybody who's watched, you know, Nance and Faldo and everybody involved. There's a little quiver there. There was something that is a very stoic Englishman who clearly was understanding the power of the moment, and that's okay. You know, I don't mind them reminding them to do their jobs, but we're all people, and that's part of the shared experience, is it not?
Yeah, the one thing I would say, listen, if you are buying into that, I think you want that from Nance and Faldo. That's kind of it. Like, if you're buying into the mythology of how important this is, and Tiger Woods makes his comeback, and Tiger Woods hugs his kids, you're going to buy into all that. there's also realists out there, and this is totally fair, who are like, you know, give me a break. I know Tigers history. I know Thanksgiving Day. I know the Perkins and Hooters. Well, not Hooters. I apologize. I know the Perkins waitresses. I know that whole world. So I get it. Like, I understand, too, sort of the cynical name. And, you know, the Nike ad plays right after. So I get it. We live in a cynical world, and that's the case. That said, you're tuning into that broadcast, and you are sort of throwing out the rest of the world for a couple hours. And I think if you're doing that, then you want Nance and Faldo to go at that. I would say this, as someone who, again, does not love golf and does not necessarily buy into the mythology of Tiger Woods, it was just an incredible American sports moment. This was a guy who is the greatest golfer of my lifetime, one of the most prominent athletes of my lifetime, and he was basically done. He was left for dead. You never thought he was coming back at a certain point. And then for him to win the Masters, the most important tournament in his world, that's just an incredible story. And I think as a sports fan, even if you're not a big golf fan, I think you just like step back and go, wow, that, like, I saw something yesterday that probably I'm going to remember for a long time.
We were having this discussion earlier in the show, Richard, and by the way, we're talking with Richard Deitch of The Athletic and the Fan 590 in Toronto on the Bernstein and McKnight show, and thinking of this story, where it would fit literarily in the idea of monomyth. Of going back, I think this is, whether it's Odysseus or the modern interpretations of, you know, Luke Skywalker, Harry Potter, following these marking points of the realizing of one's special powers, the awakening to one's special powers, the having to confront a great difficulty, time spent in a wilderness where you become a different version of yourself, or you realize something about yourself, and then your ultimate return to glory. I mean, this is an ancient monomyth, even though many of his issues that time in the wilderness was in large part of his own doing, one could say, well, look, it's the pressures that were placed upon him. It was the outside perception of him that was impossible for a human being to live up to. I mean, this fits right there in something that is almost right out of a storybook.
Yeah, listen, everyone loves sort of the notion of the comeback, or like sort of, you know, the myth of Sisyphus finally sort of being overcome. So, again, it had all those elements. You know, the warped mind that I have and the fact that I'm a big fan of professional wrestling, I would have loved for Tiger to win, pull off his red T-shirt. It reveals a T-shirt under that says, screw you, and he just curses all the fans and says, you never believed in me. Screw you guys. I'm the best. That would have been great. To me, that would have been an incredible ending. Very professional wrestling, and then you want to tune in the next week. Instead, you know, you got Nance and Butler Cabin talking about how, you know, the birds have never sung greater on this day. The grass was never greener. The sun was never brighter. And the world has gifted us with this gift, Tiger Woods. So it was, you know, I will say this. The one of the fun things for me as sports media nerd today was to read all the stories coming out of Augusta, because there's some intimidation there. And you guys know this from broadcasting too. It's like, you know, you just saw something incredible and something that people are going to remember for the rest of your life. Like, how do you write something that even comes close to that? Or how do you sort of, you know, even broadcast after the fact or describe it to describe what people saw? So it's been fun just reading all these stories coming out of Augusta today, just to see how writers there processed it. And a lot of writers really did a great job. And you mentioned Sports Illustrated, Michael Rosenberg. That's a really terrific piece. Joe Posnanski also wrote a piece from the viewpoint of the 12th hole. So he wrote it in the voice of the 12th hole, which has been, I guess, a significant hole at the Masters. And so that was pretty cool to read some of these great pieces out of there. But it was an amazing thing to watch. And, you know, if you're a ratings geek like myself, the one thing you do think about is, man, can you imagine that thing happened at the normal afternoon tea time, Tiger Woods winning the Masters around 7:30 on CBS, the rating would have been, I mean, you know, NFL rating. In this case, they had a good rating, but nowhere near, in my opinion, it could have been had the tournament gone off at its normal time.
I'm with you on the broadcast in general, that it handled things really well. I did think that Nance toward the end there, and definitely in Butler Cabin, got a little bit much, but I don't know that we could have expected anything else. I thought the broadcast over 4 days, as much of it as I watched, followed and pointed out Tiger's own self-inflicted wounds as clearly as they could. And I don't know, you've mentioned that you don't buy into the myth of Tiger Woods a little bit here, Richard. I just think that because as much as, and I don't necessarily either, he is the guy that we've all seen him be, but it's all been so public that I don't know that a broadcast like the Masters for 4 days really needs to delve into all of that stuff, or needed to, because we all know it. I mean, if we're watching it, we've all read these stories and headlines and heard the tales of his, you know, his infidelity and his drug use, all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I buy that. I think that's legit, and I don't think – listen, you might want that on the Masters Tour because it is never going to happen.
Right,
and I should
just
be clear. It's like in terms of the mythology of Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods' golf play, that's not myth. That's real. He's the best I've ever seen, and deserves all his victories from his God-given abilities. The mythology to me comes in when you get the Nikes of the world and the CBSs and everybody else. But that's not just Tiger Woods, by the way. You know, name any from Urban Meyer to Bobby Knight to Jim Harbaugh, to name any sort of major sports star, there's all mythology around it. This reason why one of the most interesting sports people I've ever dealt with, and I'll always contend this, is Charles Barkley, who is unapologetic about who he is and really doesn't have a mythology around him. You may hate him, you may like him, but it's sort of, at least, you know, at least post-playing, he sort of is who he is, which I think is pretty transparent and honest. So, you know, you can make a lot of money, and Tiger Woods has, on the mythology around Tiger Woods. But what is real, and this is why I think people really cared about yesterday, what's real is his golf game. And yesterday was real in terms of this guy managed his course beautifully and won the most important tournament that he could win after, again, 3 or 2.5 years ago, you know, given his back issues. You never thought this guy would play again, maybe even have trouble walking again. And that is an amazing story. And Tiger Woods honestly never has to do anything. I would think he never has to do anything else again. And he would be satisfied with everything he's done. He will continue playing. He probably will continue winning. But to me, that's an incredible sports story, as he came back yesterday from whatever injuries he had and was able to get back to the top of the mountain.
And lastly, Richard, as we let you go, what now? How does the narrative change in the way you believe Woods is going to be covered? We got more majors to come. We got a PGA that's been moved up to in just a few weeks. So this, everything goes a bit into hyperdrive now, does it not? As we get to the chase of the Golden Bear,
we need a rival now. So I encourage any of these young guys to go out and call out Tiger Woods today. Get some free publicity. Say that you are truly the best golfer of all time, not Tiger Woods, and let's let the press run with that. I think what's next is basically he has set himself up, and thus the sporting and viewing public, for the rest of the year for us to be incredibly interested in anything he does. Every tournament he plays will, certainly for every golf fan, be must-watch, but I think will cross over to a lot of casual sports fans. So that's what's next, is what he did is I think he has made himself once again one of the most important athletes in America, certainly through the end of the year. And I would say the Masters win probably buys him a couple of years of that, because even let's say he goes winless for the rest of the year, you know, come next April, what will the story again be at Augusta if he's playing? It'll be Tiger Woods. So he's now with us in our, you know, front and center in our sporting consciousness, minimum of a year plus, if not more.
Great stuff, Richard. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time.
That is Richard Deitch.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.